A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and he built the synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We find in today's Gospel a sharp contrast between the elders of the Jews who approached Jesus and then the centurion with the slave who was ill. The elders of the Jews, when they approached Jesus, tried to twist his arm with a lack of humility, with a lack of an awareness and reverence for who Jesus was. They said, "He deserves to have you do this for him. He's done some good things for us in our nation. Therefore, you owe it to him." When the centurion sent him a note, he said, "Lord, don't trouble yourself to come. I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof." The Jews, who were people trained in reverence, didn't have reverence for who Jesus was. This pagan centurion did. But at the same time, he had a great faith in Jesus' power to say the word from a distance, and my servant will be healed. That's why Jesus was able to say, "Not even in all of Israel have I found such faith." It was that type of faith, that type of reverence that he was looking for. That huge contrast. Those who were supposed to see the sacred missed it. Those who should have missed it saw it. And they even excelled those who had been trained in faith in that most crucial theological virtue. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. We've lost a sense of reverence in our culture. I'm thrilled that this feast has now been restored, in essence, to the liturgical calendar. I'm not sure if you saw the bulletin article I put in several months ago about the importance of Christian names, but it was fundamentally provoked by two reasons. One, I'm sick and tired of baptizing babies with names I've never heard of. And then second, when you look at the U.S. Census Bureau, the name Mary isn't even in the top 100 any longer. The only version of Mary at all that's in the top 100 is Mariah, which is number 71. And we know that comes from a big-bosomed singer and not from the Mother of God. We have lost a reverence for the name of Mary. We've lost a reverence for the name of Jesus. We've lost a reverence for the importance of names totally in our culture, such that we just put some letters together and it's new when we say, "I'm going to be creative," rather than connect a person to the sacred through a name. In the biblical mentality, a name is always incredibly significant for two reasons. It points to an identity, and then it becomes an icon of that identity. As we've mentioned before, to pray in the name of Jesus means to seek to pray in the person of Jesus. The name is a verbal icon of the person. So when we celebrate today the feast of the holy name of Mary, we're celebrating a feast of the holy person of Mary, who is signed by that name. It's funny when we mark this feast that oftentimes this wasn't the name by which Mary was called. Even though Mariam was her name, Jesus called her woman twice, because she was the new Eve, the mother of all the living. The archangel Gabriel didn't say, "Hail Mary," but rather, "Hail, you who have been filled with grace." That the holiness of who she was symbolized by her having been filled with God. It's a reality, once again, that we need to call to mind when we invoke the holy name of Mary. That not only is she that woman, that new Eve, that new mother of all the living, she's also been totally full of grace, filled with grace. When St. Bernadette asked her what her name was so that she could go and give witness after she was asked to ask for that name, Mary put her head down, folded her hands in prayer, and said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Yet one more aspect of the reality of her holy name. That from the first moment of her conception, she had been filled with God as a part of the redemption. So when we use her name, we need to remember that that name is sacred, that it was holy from the first moment of her existence, and that when we say Hail Mary, as we do throughout the rosary over the course of the day, there needs to be a great reverence in our heart for all of these realities. It's not just a couple syllables that allow us to grab somebody's attention, but it is something that brings us face to face with her holiness. And then it comes to us. Our names are meant to be holy. They're not just vocatives. They're meant to symbolize a holy reality, and we have been made temples of the Holy Spirit. Likewise with others. When we call somebody by their name, there's supposed to be a reverence involved, because that verbal icon refers to a sacred subject. Not as sacred as Mary, certainly not as sacred as Jesus, but sacred all the same. Today, as we come forward in the name of Jesus, under the intercession of the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, let us ask God to give us that type of great reverence, so that the Lord might be able to say, "Not even in all of Greater New Bedford have I found such faith as in you."